by and all that good stuff, a little win here and there. But last week, we started a mini-series called Four B's of the Christian Life. And today we're going to continue with that. And the topic has to do with prayer. And prayer is an important part of our lives as Christians. It is a spiritual discipline that we need very desperately. As we look at the life of Christ, we see that prayer was very important in the life of Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us this, that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. In the midst of the busyness of Jesus' life, he knew how important it was to just get away, be with the Father, and have that quiet time with the Father. It was a discipline for Jesus. And so, too, it needs to be a discipline in our lives. And I think most of us know that already. We know that. I'm not telling you anything new. But yet, how hard is it for us to have a disciplined prayer life, to be consistent in prayer? I think if we are honest, we can say that we probably relate more with the disciples than with Jesus. I think of that account of the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. If you remember that whole picture, and Jesus is about to go to the cross, and he is just in anguish. His soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. He's sweating drops of blood. And yet he's able to say, "Oh, Father," what? "Not my will, but what? Your will be done." A submissive heart in the midst of a terrible, terrible time. And yet, what do we find the disciples doing? Right? They couldn't pray with both eyes open. And yet, I think when we look at ourselves, we say we probably line up more with the disciples than we do with Christ. So over the next few weeks, I want to give you some practical tools that will hopefully help you in your prayer life. And this is by no means a magic formula or the perfect formula of how you ought to pray. But I would say this, if you struggle in the area of praying and praying consistently, that you would strongly take these things in. I would strongly suggest that you take these things into your life and make them a practice in your life, that they may help you. Well, last week, we looked at what it meant to be still or to be silent. And we talked about how important it was to just think back over yesterday or maybe the day before and examine our own hearts. And ask ourselves, Lord, was there anything I did yesterday or said yesterday or thought yesterday that just didn't line up with your word, that fell short of your glory? Kind of that time of examination. We see this in the Psalms. David says in Psalm 139, he says this, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David wanted God to search his heart and say, "God, just expose what's in my heart for what it is." And after that time of examination should be a time of confession. And when we get to see what's really in our hearts, sometimes we can see a lot of darkness, maybe a lot of sin. What should we do after that? Should we wallow in our sin? Should we say, "Well, you know, I'm never going to be a Christian like Brian is. I'll never be a Christian like so-and-so. I'll just never be like so-and-so." No, we shouldn't. What we ought to say is, "Thank you. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Because on the cross, I know this, though I'm a sinner and though I still struggle with sin, Jesus, I know what you did. You paid for it all on the cross. You took care of all my sins. You forgave them all. Even the sins I'm confessing to you now are covered by the blood of Christ. So Jesus, thank you." That's what we need to say. Not focus on other people, but just say, "Thank you, Jesus." And then say, "Jesus, would you help? Help me. Help me not to continue in these things that I struggle with. Help me by the power of the Spirit to overcome these sins in my life." And that's what examination is all about. not to drag us down, but to help us to be honest so that God might lift us up, that we might walk with him. Listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs 28:13 says this, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces or forsakes them finds mercy." That's a great attitude to have. Not only to confess it, but to forsake it, to renounce it, to turn it away. Say, "God, I despise that. Help me to run from that sin that I've been into." Well, how do we know what to turn away from? How do you know? How do I know? That's what we want to talk about this morning. Leads us to part two. The second B we want to look at is to be in the Word. We need to be in the Word. Looking again to Eric Little's words on this topic, he says this. He says, "After being silent, then bathe your thought in God's Word. It will cleanse your eyes and give you insight. Thus you will get right attitudes and will pray right prayers. God will be bringing your thoughts in line with His thoughts, your purposes with His purposes." It's so important that we pray with our Bibles open. And by that, you could also say what we do is we prayerfully read the Bible. Our attitude is really an attitude of prayer as we read it. We're not just reading it for data and for information, but with a submissive heart is what we ought to do. And so today I like to look at four results of coming to God with just an open heart, a humble heart, a submissive heart, with the Word of God as we pray. And we'll use that word to kind of help us out. You've got outlines there in your bulletins if kind of follow along with where we're going today. And I know there's a lot of scriptures, so if you don't get to look them all up, they're at the bottom there as well for your reference. But the first letter, W, will stand for wisdom. And I'm not talking about worldly wisdom, but spiritual wisdom. It's the wisdom that comes from God above. You see, there's a lot of wisdom of this earth, the wisdom of man, that men tend to boast in. But the wisdom we need to pursue or seek is the wisdom of God above. Psalm 119, verse 99 says this, says, "I have more insight than all my teachers because I meditate on your statutes," or on your commands, or basically, because I meditate on your word. The truth is this, you could spend 3 hours a day reading your Bible, but you could be spiritually foolish. You could go off to college and get a degree in theology, and you know what? Still be spiritually foolish. You could stand behind a pulpit and preach sermons week after week after week and still be spiritually foolish. How come? Because whenever we don't meditate on the Word, when we don't think about the Word and then apply the Word to our own lives, we can be spiritually foolish rather than spiritually wise. Now, obviously, all those things are good. We should be reading our Bibles. If the Lord leads you to Bible college, Jordan, go for it. And may God bless you with that. Or be a preacher. That's great, right? It's great, right? Hopefully it's great to do those things. But just that in and of itself is not going to give you spiritual wisdom. Listen to what James says about wisdom in James chapter 3. He says this, he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." James says, do you want spiritual wisdom? Then you know what you need to do? You need to give your life away. Give it away. Begin to serve people, begin to love people, begin to show mercy to people. And as you do that, don't do that with a notepad in your back pocket, if you know what I mean. You know how it is where we pull out the notepad and we say, well, on Tuesday I did this for Joe, and Wednesday I did this for Bill, and on Thursday I did this for Jordan, and people ought to be doing things for me by now. No, spiritual wisdom says, I just give my life away. Why? Because Jesus gave his life away for me with no strings attached. I was a wretch. I was lost in sin when Jesus said, Eric, I'm coming to this earth. I'm going to pay the price for your sins. While you're yet in sin and an enemy of me, I'm going to show you love. I'm going to serve you with my life. When we have that attitude of service and love and humility toward people, you know what God says? You're going to begin to get spiritual wisdom. You're going to get insight into the things of God, the Word of God. If you can't understand the Word of God, then perhaps you just need to humble yourself and give your life away. Don't read the Bible just for information, but read it for transformation. Second letter is O. O will stand for open. Again, in Psalm 119, we see this. Verse 18 says, open the eyes, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. That is a great prayer to pray. As we sit with our Bibles open, that we would just say, God, would you open my eyes today to what's before me? We often sing that song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Why do we sing that? What do we mean when we sing that? We don't have little eyeballs, right, attached to our hearts. We're talking spiritually, right? God, open my spiritual eyes. God, I just want you to speak to me. And through the Spirit, God can speak to us. And the main way that God speaks to us is through His Word. No way around it. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says. It says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Bible says that God's Word can actually cut. How many of you have ever been cutting up vegetables and you sliced your finger? Have you done that, Jeremiah? You cut up vegetables for your guinea pig. Have you cut your finger yet? No. Oh, good for you. Some of us older people, We've cut our fingers, and who likes that? I mean, none of us, right? None of us likes. It's not a good feeling. We don't like to be cut. But let me ask you this. If you had a tumor, and if that tumor was not going to be removed, you would die within a week. Would you want to be cut? Would you want a surgeon to go in and remove that tumor? I think then we wouldn't be thrilled about the idea of going under the knife. But we would know that it would be for our good. So too, God's Word may cut. It may cut and show us the thoughts and attitudes of our heart and what's really there. But God says it is for your good. That's why I'm doing it. Just like the surgeon will cut out the bad stuff, the infection, the disease, for that patient's good, so too God says, let me just cut away at some things that I see. If you'll just be still and listen to me and allow me to show you what's in your life, I will cut those things away. And it may be painful in some sense, but it will be good. It will be good for you if you trust in me in this. So let me ask you, where are you at today? Can you say, God, my heart is open. Lord, show me what's inside and cut away the stuff that doesn't bring you glory. Can you say, God, here I am. I'm trusting you to do open heart surgery, spiritual open heart surgery on me. The third letter, R, will stand for righteousness. And righteousness is simply all about doing what is right. That's what it basically means there. And again, there's no way around it. For in order for us to know what is right in the eyes of God, we have to go here. We have to look to His Word to find out what is right, what pleases Him, and what does not. We need to be very careful that we don't look around at the culture and at our world to tell us what is right and wrong, but that we go to the Word of God. Let's just pick any topic I think of just sexual purity and what that means. As we open our Bibles, God says that it is His will that we would avoid a sexual immorality. When we think about God's desire for marriage, from the get-go, it was one man, one woman, bound together in a faithful covenant. But yet our culture will tell us something different. Again, we need to go to the Word of God for what is right and for what is wrong. Even within the marriage context, our world will say to many of us men, hey, you can look, but just don't touch. You know what I mean? But what does God's Word say? Jesus told His disciples, if you look with lustful intent on a woman, you commit adultery with her in your heart. The standard is very high as we open the Word of God in the sense of purity and what God has for us. Let's look at another topic. How about speech? The things that come out of our mouth. We live in a country that was built on what? Freedom of speech. But what does that mean? Does that mean we are free to say whatever we want, however we want, to whomever we want at any time? And the answer is no. The Bible tells us how we're to speak. Ephesians 5:4 says this. It says, let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, or no crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Again, we need to take our cues from the Word of God and not from the world around us. We live in a world with a lot of just filthy speech. That's just the way it is. And I know I'm getting old, but and I know I never like to say, you know, back in my day, we didn't do that. But I just think that, boy, things are getting worse in that area of filthy language. Swear words, cuss words, you name it. It's just more prevalent. It seems more prevalent to me. I could be wrong. Maybe I just can't remember. I do know there were swear words when I was younger, just in case. Some of you may think I'm, you know, some of you young guys think, yeah, back in that, they didn't even have any. Yeah, they did. And I will even confess this. I'm guilty of participating and saying some of those swear words as well. But I think it's very prevalent in our day. A couple months ago, I was out at there's a tennis court just about a half mile up the road here, and some young guys were playing hockey and having a great time, and that was awesome. I'm glad they were playing hockey, but I think about every 15 seconds, I heard the word that begins with the sixth letter of the alphabet. I'm sure you can figure it out. But about every 15 seconds, and if you do the math, if I was there for 15 minutes, then I heard that word 60 times, and it was just no big deal. And again, if we take our cue from the culture, what are we going to say? Hey, the world says it every 15 seconds. If I say it once a day, once a week, it's really not that bad. But God says what? Let there be no filthiness, no impure words that come out of our mouths. And certainly, not only should we be careful about what we keep in, and as far as the bad stuff, but also that the good stuff comes out. This is what we find in Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You may be here today and say, you know what, I don't swear, and I can't stand people who do. I hate being around people who swear. But you know what, if we use our tongue to destroy and to tear down people, really, what's the difference when you look at it in the eyes of God? That is unwholesome talk when we tear down people. The Bible says we're to build them up with our tongues. So let me ask you, are you building people up? Are you edifying people with your tongue? Are you speaking the truth in love? Is there always a loving heart for whatever you have to say to those around you? That's God's desire. And of course, in our day, I have to say, not only do we need to guard our literal speech, but also guard your text and your tweets and your emails and your Facebook posts as well. Let there be pure speech. It's pure speech. That's what I want to see, pure speech, and what God wants to see. We touched on a couple areas, and we could go on, and I would encourage you, when you open your Bible, Think of all the areas that God deals with. Maybe someone has done you wrong, and the world says, oh, you go get them. You go get them. You give them what they deserve. What does God say? Let there be no bitterness in your heart. The final letter we want to look at today is the letter D, and that is for the word deep. How many of you here today can honestly say, you know, I would like to go deeper with God? Can you say that? I want to go deeper with God. I pray that all of you do. And one way to do that is to have your Bible open and to prayerfully read it. Many times we can approach the Bible like a potluck luncheon or even a picnic. We're having a picnic today, and as the food is spread out, there may be things you're saying, yeah, I like that. I like that. That looks really good. I'm going to put some of that on my plate. That stuff over there, I'm not really sure what it is. It doesn't thrill me too much. I'm not gonna partake of that. And often that's how we can look at the word. Ooh, that sounds really good. I really love that. When Jesus said to love each other, that's good stuff. But this stuff here about, you know, sexual purity or whatever it may be, well, that I'm not really too key on, and I'll just have my own thoughts about that. If we're open, we want all of the word. We want to take in all of the word of God and be submissive to all of it. We cannot go deeper in our relationship with God unless we say, God, this is your word. All of it is. And Lord, I may know that there are things that are hard for me to swallow. But Lord, with your help, would you please help me swallow those things? I can remember my mom when I was younger used to take up the medicine and take two spoons. I don't know if your mother ever did that, and squished it together and put some sugar on it. Remember that? And saying, just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, right? The medicine go down. Some of you guys remember that song. Why did she do that? Because it was, the medicine was good for me, and she wanted it to be sweet when it came down. My mother actually didn't sing, by the way. And where's Pam? Pam could testify to that. But there she is. Mom's not a singer, right? That's okay. But she loved us, and she fed us medicine. But even though there was a... Even though there was a bitterness there to the medicine, there was a sweetness that was to it. And so too, the word of God, David says, it's like honey. It's like sweetness to me. Even though life can be very bitter, you know what? When we swallow the word of God in, there can still be a sweetness that comes to our souls. And that's God's desire for us. That we would say, God, here I am. My heart is open. My mind is open. I want all of your word from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22. All of it, I want it. I want it, God, in my life. And I'm willing to obey it and submit to it. And there it may be hard to swallow, but Lord, help me. There may be things that I just don't understand. I had a Bible study this week with some elderly ladies, and there was a lady probably up in her 80s, and she looked at a passage where Israel was going into the promised land. And God asked that Israel would destroy men, women, and children. She said, you know, I can't. How could God do that? How could he do that? And so we wrestled with that question for a bit. And thankfully, her heart was submissive to God. She didn't pack up her Bible and leave. She said, you know what, I may not totally fathom this, but I know that God is just in everything he does, and I'm going to trust in God, even in the things that are hard to swallow for me. That is the attitude we need as we open up the Word of God. The Bible says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all spiritual wisdom. As we close today, let me just share the most important message from here, from the Bible. The main message of the Bible, it's all about Jesus. Everything points to Jesus Christ. The Old Testament points forward to the Messiah, to the Lamb of God who would be sacrificed for our sins. All those blood offerings were a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus. We're on this side of the cross. We can look back. We have the commands of the apostles on how to live a godly life. But the main message of the Bible is this, John 3:16, and many of you know it by heart, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the message of the Bible. And let me ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And by believe, I don't just mean a simple nod of the head, and then you go on your merry way. Imagine a couple getting married, and they come to the altar, and the man says, "I do." And then he leaves, doesn't hang around for the reception, never sees that wife ever again, has nothing to do with her. What would you think of that marriage covenant? Many people have this type of belief. They say, yeah, I have a mental understanding of Jesus loves me, died for me, but that's as far as it goes. There's no commitment. There's no devotion. There's no pouring out your life for Jesus Christ. You've never actually really bowed your knee at the altar of God. And so today, if you find yourself in that place, first thing you need to do is acknowledge your sin before God, that you're a sinner, that you fall short of His glory, that you're lost without Him, and that you need a Savior. And secondly is to believe, not only in your head, but the Bible says to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then confess with your mouth, "Jesus, You are Lord. Jesus, I embrace You. I believe what You did for me. You actually had me on your mind when You were being crucified." I believe that's a great picture of what a Christian is. They know that on the cross, Jesus was thinking of them, and He took our place. He took our punishment. And now, Jesus, I'm going to live for You and serve You. And I pray that each of you here have done that. And if not, then just do it right now. Bow your heart, and let's all pray. Let's all pray together as we close. Father, thank You for this beautiful day. Lord, we are so grateful for Your grace. Lord, we know that we cannot come to You with any works of our own, but Lord, we simply have to rest on Your grace and on the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus, I pray that each one here today would truly know You in their hearts and in their souls. Lord, if there's anyone here who has never just surrendered their life, that they would just go to that holy altar and just say, "Lord, I'm committing my life to You. I'm saying I do and I follow You." And Lord, that they would forsake all and follow Christ. Thank You, God, for Your grace and Your forgiveness and Your love that You have. And Lord, help us to walk in that love. And Lord, we thank You again for today. And we thank You in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.